We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Matthew, which was the favorite gospel of the early church, the one they quoted most frequently. It's also the most Jewish gospel. And we're going to see that Jesus is a second Moses. And through this insight, we're going to look at a familiar passage, hopefully in a new way. And that passage is the one at the end of Matthew's gospel. Well, what do I mean when I say he's a second Moses? Moses said that there would be a prophet like him who would come and who would basically be the Messiah. You can read the whole passage in Deuteronomy 18. Christians believe that Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. Certainly Peter did. He refers to it in Acts chapter 3. Hebrews 3 verse 3 presents Jesus as a second Moses, another Moses, but in fact someone who's greater than Moses. What are the parallels? Well, they both led God's people and worked miracles, brought redemption through blood and water. Thanks to their teaching, God's people had a new identity. The first one, of course, under the old covenant, the second under the new covenant. So we have the covenants. We have the connection of teaching with the mountain. Moses goes up the mountain and receives the law. We'll see Jesus on a mountain in just a moment. Also, interestingly, Moses was glowing when he came down from Mount Sinai the second time. This is in Exodus 34. Jesus also was glowing on a mountain. This is called the Transfiguration. We read about it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and 2 Peter. Moses gave us what are called in many Bibles the five books of Moses, from Genesis to Deuteronomy. This is just traditional. I don't believe Moses wrote Genesis. I don't think he wrote the last chapter of Deuteronomy either. That is his death report, his obituary. But traditionally, he gave us those five books. And Jesus also gives, in the Gospel of Matthew, gives us five teaching blocks. More on that in just a moment to clarify. So we have the five books of Moses, and then in the Psalms, which are also laid out in five books, the Psalms begin by saying that the righteous person meditates on that law, that is, on those five books of Moses, just as Joshua 1:8 says that Joshua is to meditate on the law, same idea. But in Matthew, following the example of the first five books, the Torah, and of Psalms, Matthew has arranged Jesus' teaching into five sections, and they begin in chapters 5, 10, 13, 18, and 23. And you'll see there's an alternation of teaching section with other stories, particularly of miracles. All right. Now, just as Moses received the law, which all God's people were bound to obey, so Jesus gives us new covenant teaching that we must obey. And we'll focus on that word teaching. Now, of course, there are some differences. In Exodus 19, God's people received the commission to be a light to the world even before Moses goes up the mountain and receives the law. The commission comes first. In Christianity, they're more closely connected. In Matthew 28, we find Jesus on a mountain, whereas Moses ends his life on a mountain. Let's talk more about that. In Matthew 28, we do not find Jesus's last words. Matthew 28 is in Galilee. Jesus' last words were given near Jerusalem. He ascended from the Mount of Olives. He ascended from the town of Bethany. Jesus' last words may be found in Luke 24 or Acts 1. Still, the words in Matthew 28 are so important. Moses died on the mountain, Mount Nebo, whereas Jesus ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives. Now, our text is going to be Matthew 28, but particularly the last verse. We're going to look at verses 16 to 20, but I want us to focus not so much on the evangelism side as the teaching side. Let's read this. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So, Jesus' early followers are Jewish. this idea of going up on a mountain and having important words, divine words for God's people, is a familiar notion in the Old Testament. So he's in Galilee. He's explaining to them this mission, this commission. Let us continue. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Did you notice the triple all, that word all three times? Jesus has all authority. We're to go to all nations and we're to teach all things that Jesus taught us, not just the Great Commission, not just the greatest command or our favorite verses, but everything. This mandate is from heaven, and of course it's for us in the church, but Jesus gave it first to the apostles. This is the mandate to go into all the world. This involves planting churches, the work of evangelists, but it also involves everyday ordinary evangelism. He doesn't say go to all modern political nations. That is not what that word nations means. It's people groups. It's peoples. We must read this with the first century eye. Avoid anachronism when we're reading a modern understanding into an ancient text. In fact, they're not just 195 people groups. If you go online, you'll see 195 nations with sovereignty, with a flag, and so forth. But how many people groups? Well, according to Christianity Today, and I was reading Christianity Today just a couple days ago, 17,000 people groups. You know, it's such a human tendency to take the commands of God and try to shorten them and reduce them and make them easier. And that is done two ways with this passage. Firstly, by interpreting nations as modern nations, we're actually forgetting almost everybody. With 17,000 people groups, it's not enough just to have a church of disciples in a nation. It's every people group. And as we can see, the average nation has many people groups, close to 100. The other way we minimize this passage and water it down is by focusing only on the teaching of discipleship and baptism. True, we are to teach others to be disciples and to be baptized. But he also says in verse 20 that we're supposed to teach people to obey everything he commanded us. And that is a lot more than just how to become a Christian. In fact, most teaching comes after conversion, not before. It doesn't come before we're born again. It comes after we become new creations. And what is the substance of what Jesus expected us to teach? It is exactly what is found in Matthew's five teaching sections. And again, we'll come back to that next time. He tells us he's with us when we do our part. He's with us to the very end of the age, but not with us regardless of what we do. Obviously, there's a context. He's with us as we make disciples and as we teach people to obey everything, not just our favorite parts. Well, how well do we know the teachings of Jesus? Do we just know key verses, strategic verses to help someone else become a Christian? Because all of Matthew is important and all five teaching sections are vital. Are these teachings written on our hearts? Are we intimately familiar with the teaching of the Lord? Or have we settled for something far less, that is, just memorizing a handful of verses on a number of different topics? Let's get serious now as we apply these passages. Let's get serious as we consider the import of this great verse. If these are new thoughts, please study them out. Anytime a speaker gives you a thought that's new, you have to process it. You may reject it. You may not agree, but you have to evaluate it. You must weigh it and think about it, what that means. Secondly, I give a challenge to you. to appreciate Jesus for who he is in all his riches. Jesus was not just someone who gave us a few verses, a few commands. He taught us amply. He taught us generously. We should respect the Lord's authority. And with the Great Commission, that means we should share the gospel. It is assumed that is what the church does. We may contribute in different ways depending on how we are wired, how we have experienced Christ, and based on our abilities, our talents, our strengths. But we can all do our part, whatever that means. And not to is to disrespect the Lord. I think we should challenge ourselves in this process and push ourselves. I'm speaking to you from a neighborhood of about 90 or 95 homes, and I'm happy that we're getting more serious about taking the message to my neighbors. This is a big deal. Where do you live? Do people know the word? Are we proud that God has entrusted us with this? Yet, teaching, most of the teaching, as we see in Matthew's gospel, is not about how to become a Christian. Yes, you can find a verse here and there that refers to Christian conversion. But rather, most of that teaching is where we are to go after conversion. Where do we take people after they're baptized? They've decided to be disciples. We all know disciple means student. So what are they going to be learning? What's our goal? To teach them 40 verses that they'll memorize and that's it for their entire life? That's crazy. That's only a small fraction of what Jesus taught. We are to teach people, starting with ourselves, to seriously take everything that Jesus taught his disciples. If the Lord taught his disciples, we need to look at that. He said, teach them whatever I've commanded you. You know, generally speaking, healthy, happy churches are those who are growing in obedience to the mission. And yes, they'll normally grow in numbers, but they're growing in faith and they're growing in knowledge of the word. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And Jesus says, when we do that, he's with us. Jesus is the second Moses, and we take him every bit as seriously as the Jews took the first Moses with his teaching. Now, next time, we're going to zero in on what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And those are the chapters in Matthew's Gospel, chapters number 5, 6, and 7. And I hope that this will bring some new thoughts to us and inspire us. In the meantime, keep reading the Gospel of Matthew. Learn how Jesus is like Moses and focus on the teachings that he emphasized. God bless. Till next time.